three men by the same criteria. The five and two men benefited in the same way. We'll come back to that in a second. The five and two bag men benefited from Jesus' judgment in the same way. Number one, they were praised by their master. Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share in your master's happiness. And how did he reward them? I think this is of interest to me, because in this world we look at how do we get rewarded for our efforts? Well, we get a salary, maybe so that we can go on holiday, or we buy a big computer, a nicer car. How did Jesus, obviously the man in this story, reward them? Actually, he didn't give them a luxury holiday in the Caribbean, did he? He gave them more work to do. That was the reward. You've been faithful with a few things. I'm now going to put you in charge of many things. But what about the one bag man? Now, does anybody here feel sorry for the one bag man? You can be honest. Yeah, I have to say, he's got a little bit of sympathy with me, because he didn't lose the money. He didn't spend the money. He didn't frivolously waste it like the prodigal son. He was worried about what to do with the money. And he just sort of buried it in the ground, and that's it, and forgot about it. And he produced the money back at the end of time. But how did Jesus deal with him? Well, he dealt with him in exactly the same way as the first two men. Was he worthy of praise? Absolutely not. He got castigated for not using it well. Did he get given more work to do? No, he didn't. In fact, all that he had was taken from him. And he was thrown out into the darkness where there was a gnashing of teeth and weeping. So rather than just saying, well, okay, you haven't done great, but actually it's all right, Jesus said, absolutely not, that will not do. I've given you some wealth, and you've not dealt with it efficiently or properly. And the man is discarded for doing badly. So I think this is quite a tough passage. And obviously we know from our studies that Jesus, the master, is talking of his second coming. Let's bring that one on now. Actually, I can look that way, can't I? Except that I can't read it, so I'll keep turning around. Jesus, why don't I wear my glasses? Jesus, the master, is talking of his second coming. And I think the wealth represents the whole of our lives, but in particular, the most precious gift that we've been given, which is our faith and what we've done with it. And I think the key point is this: being ready for his return involves more than just playing it safe. How many Christians do we know who simply play it safe? I think for 20 years, that was what I did. I played it safe because I knew I was okay. I was safe. Essentially, I had the single bag of gold, and it was buried in the ground. And when Jesus comes back, I say, look, I've got my bag of gold. I've still got my faith. But actually, that doesn't impress Jesus at all. We're not meant to play it safe, doing little or nothing with the wealth that's given us. If you like, sitting on our spiritual bank account. This does not impress Jesus at all. Jesus absolutely demands our service. And we know that our service produces results. Five bags produces 10. Two bags produces 4. Revelation 3, one of the toughest, I think, chapters in the entire Bible, when Jesus gives the Laodiceans serious stick for being lukewarm with their faith. It's very much linked in with this, isn't it? He's not impressed with lukewarmity. He wants us to be passionate and to do something really urgent with what we've been given. Jesus says to the Laodiceans, you're in danger of being spat out of my mouth. That's a serious phrase. So I think it's very clear from this passage, we've been given something seriously precious, but we must do something with it. We must invest it, because it's not just for us, it's for all mankind. And here's the key thing. We know that the boss will return. We don't know when it'll be. I don't know if any of you saw, I just turned on, my mum was watching the telly on Sunday morning, so just Sunday just gone, just before we went to church. And there's that programme with Nikki thingy on one of these Question Time programmes on the telly. And the subject was the Second Coming. And they had some black pastors, they had a Jewish guy, an Islamic guy, they had atheist historians, and they were debating when will it be. And some people were still making the mistake of predicting when it was going to be. It's going to be in 2050, it's going to be, oh my goodness. But at least there was a sense of, well, actually, most people, even the historians, were concerned that there would be a time when Jesus is coming back. And we know quite clearly, because we have faith in his words, that definitely he is coming back. And he will demand an explanation from our actions. Anybody excited? Yeah. Yeah. Anybody terrified? Yeah. 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 How many people do we meet who say, when I meet Jesus, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind? When you meet Jesus, you're going to be on your knees begging for mercy. You know, my goodness. But why have I chosen this passage today? Why have I chosen the passage today? Well, TFM is close on 30 years old. I don't know. Dan, have we reached our 30-year anniversary yet?
Not mine. Well,
he's not lost it. He's not lost it.
I think we have.
Have we gone past 30 years? Jilly, is that right? Yeah, we probably ought to have had some cake. David, we'll have to get there. It's another any cake excuse is good, as you know. But we're nearly 40, aren't we?
Oh,
78. Oh, Roger said, oh, that's definitely an excuse for cake. Rog, get onto that next time, staff meeting. Yeah, you'll bake. No, don't bake it. No. Sorry? Is that technically right? Ooh, okay. Well, we'll come to that debate later. Okay. There's obviously some. Either way, cake's good.
Yeah.
But say we're coming up to around 30 years. I reckon that Daniel responded to God's challenge immensely well. I think Daniel was given a lot of bags of gold. And I think Daniel responded to those bags appropriately. I think we can all say every single person in this room is here as a result of Daniel responding to the bags of gold that God gave him. I did hear a figure. I don't know if it's correct again, Dan. You've been on 400 plus missions, 10,000 conversions along the way. Is that something? Is that about right? Is that a cause for celebration?
Yeah.
Let's give God a round of applause. Right? Yeah. You know, that's not too shabby, I reckon. And now here's the question. I think that not just Dan, but Roger, Peter, Jonathan, John, Gordon, and the rest of us, we've all been given bags of gold. I don't know how many bags, by the way, each one of us has received. Each one of us, we're told in the Bible, gets given a different number of bags of gold. I think we can say quite honestly that Peter Adams, when he went north, God would have received him and said, well done, good and faithful servant. And I would imagine that each one of us wants that response from the Lord when we meet him. But we've got to use our bags wisely. The question is, where does that lead us now in 2016? Does God still dish out bags of gold?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. It's a rhetorical question. I'm glad that people are saying yes. Absolutely. I think God hasn't run out of gold. Do we still have work to do?
Yes.
My goodness, do we not have still work to do? There's so much work to do. Can we bury in the ground what we've been given? 100% not. And if we do so, we will have to account one day for our bags of gold. Jesus will not be pleased with us. This is a serious passage. But how best do we invest what God has given us? Do we approach mission in the same way that we've always done so, or do we approach it in a different manner? And that's something which we'll be leading onto this afternoon. Mike's done a rather nice picture. Mike, thanks for the pictures. They were good, actually, the ones you sent me. Does it call for a fresh approach? I guess that's a goldfish dashing into a bigger bowl. But does mission today, does it look exactly the same as it has done over 30 years, or do we need to approach mission slightly differently? I might say that 2 years ago, those are my two hats, 2 years ago when I took on this role, I had a strong sense from the Lord that there were two major jobs to do. Now, apologies for those of you who've heard this a few times before, but essentially there was a job to do within TFM, to build on what Dan and John and others and Roger have done over the many, many years in TFM. So that was a clear role. How can we move TFM forwards? But the second role, which we'll be looking into more this afternoon, is how can we collaborate with other churches and organisations in the re-evangelisation of Britain? Now, my thought at the time when I got this sense from the Lord in about April 2014, so even before taking on the job, was that the two roles, okay, they had a link, but they were really quite separate. But I think as time has gone on, it's been pointed out to me, as well as I think begun to realise myself, that it's really two jobs in one. I don't see them as separate at all now. I think they're very, very interlinked. I say, we'll go on to that later. I can't say too much about what we're going to do in the future because the timing of this conference, I don't know if you've spotted, it's quite interesting. It's before our AGM, which is in a couple of weeks' time on the 5th of July. And actually the trustees haven't agreed with what I'm going to be talking about today. So I'm giving you some ideas, but please don't take them as carte blanche or cut and dried because they aren't. There are trustees here today, Robin and co. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? I am revealing some of my thoughts, but it's not cut and dried. However, I think it's appropriate. It's something that's exactly that. So we can pray into. Because I think this is a prayer partners conference. We need to pray into for wisdom. Where do we go as an organisation? You know, how do we use our bags of gold best in the future? But one thing I think we can say, 30 years down the line, is that we can look back at TFM very much not in anger, but with joy at what God has done over the course of time. Is that fair to say? Absolutely. I think God, I'm hesitate to speak for God, but I think that God is pleased with the way that we've used our bags of gold over the course of time, our talents, if you like. I don't think that anyone can say that this organisation has buried its gold in the ground. I think we have used it wisely to win souls. But here's the challenge. Now, we can look around this room. Hands up, who's younger than me in this room? Roz, yes, okay, I'll accept that one. Ali, I know, is definitely young. Oh, no. That would be telling. That would be telling. Now, well, I'm 55. James is younger than me. But there's not many. And I have to say, I've been on two missions in May recently. And on, I think there's about two people in the extent of those mission teams who are younger than me. This remains a challenge. We might look around this room with earthly eyes and think we're getting older. TFM numerically is reduced. Overall, we're getting older. Prayer partners may be a little bit reduced from where we used to be because we're getting older and people are moving on. If we look at things with earthly eyes, I think we can see problems. We might even be like some of the churches who are becoming slowly extinct. That's with earthly eyes. But I think we need to look at TFM with spiritual eyes. I think that God can say to us quite honestly that we have been faithful with a few things. Now, I think actually we've been given quite a lot in terms of bags of gold. But I think in terms of God's ability to donate, I think we've been given just a few things. And I believe God will give us very much more in the future. If we've been faithful with a little, he will give us a lot, which we then equally have to be faithful with. And the question is how best to use it. So we'll look into that a bit more this afternoon. But I think we can be absolutely clear. God has not run out of gold. And I believe he will reward us with a whole load more gold, not so that we can go and sit in the Caribbean, not so that we can bury it in the ground, but so that we can invest it wisely. And if we invest it wisely, the results will follow. Yeah, they always have done. We've had a lot of missions even this year. We've seen lots of things happening both in Ireland and in England and in Uganda and in Kenya. You know, we've been in four different countries this year working, and we've seen lots and lots of people, hundreds and hundreds of people come to Christ. But I believe he has a whole load more gold for us ready. He's going to give it to us, but we must use it well. So I think what I'd like to do now is just to say we've got exciting times ahead, but let's pray. Because we want God just to show us and to continue to bless us as an organisation. So let's just let's give this time to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that you are a great God. You are a God of infinite resources, of infinite love, but you're also a God of justice, and you're a God who demands our service. You never said to us that life would be easy as Christians. But you always said to us that you'd be with us, you would never leave us or forsake us, that you would lead us through the storms of life. And Lord, as we come to you approximately 30 years old as an organization, we want to thank you again for all that you've given us. Thank you for all the gold that you've given us, Lord. And thank you that as we've invested it in faith, you have brought so many thousands upon thousands of souls into your kingdom in different countries. Not just in England, but in Ireland, in Kenya, and in Uganda. And Lord, in humility, we ask that you'll favour us with more gold, that you'll bless us, Lord, that you'll say to us, well done, so far, good and faithful servants, and that you will give us much more gold because there's so much work to do. Lord, when we look around our country here in England, the work is enormous. The need is enormous. People have walked away from you, Lord God. And yet there is still a sense in this country that you are king. And we heard earlier about the Queen, Lord, and her faith at 90. I want to thank you for that, Lord God. Just a little thing, when Daniel Sturridge scored for England the other day, instantly he praised God. And that's gone over through, absolutely, hallelujah. It's been on the computer since then, Lord God. Thank you, there still is faith in this country, but my goodness, there's work to do. So, Father, in faith, we ask you, Lord, please consider us worthy to receive more gold. And then wise us up, Lord God. Show us how to use this gold that we may be much, much more effective in the future, even than we have been in the past. So, Lord, as we build on the past and as we give you thanks for the past, bless us more, Lord God. Favor us and enable us to use your gifts wisely. In the holy name of Jesus. Amen.